It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. In this installment of our series of interviews with Wisconsin candidates for governor, we talk with Maggie Turnbull, the independent candidate. She's running against Libertarian Phil Anderson, Wisconsin Party candidate Arnie Enns, Democrat Tony Evers, Green Party candidate Michael J. White, and Republican incumbent Scott Walker. What's the most important issue that you want the next governor to focus on? And what questions do you have for Maggie Turnbull? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Maggie Turnbull is the independent candidate for governor of Wisconsin. She's also an astronomer, independent contractor, and small business owner. Maggie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
First of all, why do you want to be governor of Wisconsin?
I wanted to see some variety on the ticket this year. I wanted to make sure that we'd have science represented. I wanted to see a woman on the ticket. I could tell how the Democratic primary was going to turn out. This was something I could see way in advance. And I'm actually just tired of the insider network that we see represented over and over again within these two big parties. And, there's just so much money involved in these campaigns. And I want to present something different, just a different way of campaigning and connecting with people. I'm not spending millions of dollars at all. And I think, as someone who's born and raised in Wisconsin and whose whole network is here, I wanted to just give people a chance to vote for something completely different and strive to build up the middle ground in our political landscape, as opposed to just dividing and polarizing us and causing so much stress to the people who live here.
You said in June that the top issue that triggered you to want to run for governor was that you wanted to see someone on the ballot who is a peacemaker. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I really believe that in Wisconsin, we are reasonable people who know how to solve problems together, regardless of our political affiliation. I served on city council for 4 years in Antigo, Wisconsin, and I know what it's like to have to keep things running with a very limited budget and with people of a variety of viewpoints. But at the end of the day, we have to keep the lights on. We have to keep the water running. We have to keep the sewer system working. We have to keep the roads together. So we come together and we get it done. And we treat each other respectfully. And we come up with creative solutions. We work with our staff, who are very intelligent people. And we figure out a way forward together. I want to see that same kind of spirit represented at all levels of government in Wisconsin by electing leaders who don't just use divisional rhetoric to divide us and make people angry, but actually insist that everybody does have a seat at the table and we're not passing legislation unless it has broad support from not just all the legislators, regardless of which party they're in, but also the people that live in their districts. A lot of these legislators were elected with a very slim majority or not even a majority of their electorate, and they're only representing half the people in their own districts. So I want to make sure as leaders that we are really looking at broad support from the people who elected us.
You're a scientist. What does that bring? What would that bring to the office of governor?
Yeah, understanding the scientific language, I think, is very important. And whether we're talking about our infrastructure or we're talking about managing our natural resources, we need to understand the research that is behind what we're seeing happening. So I would like to make sure that our policies are reflecting scientific reasoning and really understanding that, for example, with our natural resources, we're going to see some changes coming in the next 10 years. We're already seeing them now with precipitation patterns and temperatures, water temperatures. And I want to use that information to make sound policy decisions, as well as looking at what kind of businesses we want to support, what kind of industries we want to really invest in going forward, too. I'm a big fan of alternative energy. I would love to see more solar energy developed here. That's a wonderful industry that has a lot of good jobs to offer. We could do that here in Wisconsin. Same thing with wind. And let's move away from coal. We don't need, you know, coal is one of the worst polluting industries on the planet. That's how we're generating our power right now, is with coal. It's very expensive. It's very polluting. It's not good for our air quality. Let's move toward renewable and clean energy.
Well, let's look at your top priorities, one of which is cleaning up rivers and lakes and restoring local control in creating shoreline regulation. Where would you start on this if you're elected?
Right. So the state right now is basically overruling counties when it comes to managing their shorelines. For example, in keeping buffer zones around lake shores and rivers. So when you plant grass, all the way, a grass lawn, all the way up to the edge of a lake, that when it rains, that that lawn is really not too much different from pavement. Water runs right over it into the lake and carries with it any chemicals from, you know, salt from the roads or any chemicals you might have put on that lawn to look at, make it look nice and green and beautiful. What we want to do, what most counties had in place, is our buffer zones where you put native plants around the shoreline. That slows the water down, allows it to soak in so the soil can do its magic with all the microbial life in the soil, clean up that water before it gets into the lake. And that's so important because we don't want to see toxic algae blooms. And that is caused by not having enough of a buffer zone around our waterways. And we see that in Madison with beach closures. We see that in our riverways. And that's a heavy impact on the life in our waterways. And of course, you know, we have a multi-billion-dollar tourist industry here. That is our water. We have to protect that, not just for our own health and survival, but also for our tourism industry. And it's one of the main reasons we want to live in Wisconsin. We are water rich here, so let's take care of it.
We're talking with Maggie Turnbull, independent candidate for governor of the state of Wisconsin. Maggie, let's turn to education. You have adequate school funding listed as one of your priorities. What would you do when it comes to funding our schools?
We'd look at the funding formula. So right now, I think it's, you know, it's well known that kids in inner city schools and in rural areas aren't worth the same amount when it comes to state funding as kids in growing, more affluent suburban areas. So that funding formula has not been looked at since the 90s. There is a commission, a Blue Ribbon Commission, that has convened over the last couple years, taken input from a lot of different stakeholders, not released its results yet. I guess they're done with their report, but they're not going to report out until after the election. But we want to look at the results of that report. We want to see, you know, were the right people involved in weighing in? I'm not sure there was enough input from teachers and families into that, but that's one part of it. Also,
okay.
Vouchers. We have to move away from vouchers, except where it's really needed in the inner city areas.
We're talking with independent candidate Maggie Turnbull. She stays with us, and we have a line for you. What's the top issue you think the next governor of Wisconsin needs to tackle? What issues and what questions do you have for Maggie Turnbull? 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. In this installment of our series of interviews with Wisconsin candidates for governor, we speak with Maggie Turnbull, the independent candidate who's running against Libertarian Phil Anderson, Wisconsin Party candidate Arnie Enns, Democrat Tony Evers, Green Party candidate Michael J. White, and Republican incumbent Scott Walker. What's the top issue that you want the next governor to tackle after the election? What questions do you have for Maggie Turnbull? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Maggie, according to an audit of the State Department of Transportation, last year about a third of Wisconsin state highways were in fair, poor, or worse condition than in 2015, and a report from transportation research group TRIP released last month showed that half of major locally and state-maintained roads and highways in the state rate as poor or mediocre. What do you see as solutions for repairing and investing in Wisconsin's roads?
Yeah, there's not going to be a magic solution here. So Wisconsin has more paved roads than almost any other state in the union, amazingly, surprisingly, because our population is pretty spread out through the state. We have a lot of rural highways, and we also live in a zone, in a climate zone, that is going through a freeze-thaw every year, and that's really hard on the roads. We also made a decision to not take federal funding for a train system that would have relieved a lot of pressure on our highways. So now we're stuck with all of our traffic traveling on highways, and so here we are. And counties are finding themselves making tough decisions about roads, and some of their roads are going back to gravel. And we can't just keep kicking the can down the road. I mean, what I would like to see us do, we're going to have to just prioritize with the resources we have. There's been talk about going to a tollway, maybe in certain areas. I think we should look at that. I'm very leery of it because of my own personal experience with the Illinois tollway, and that would be just the worst thing ever if we ended up with a system like that in Wisconsin. But maybe there are stretches of highway where that would be appropriate to raise revenue. But within the resources that we have, there's not a magic answer here. We're just going to have to prioritize what are the highway projects that are affecting the most people and represent the most danger. It may well be that we don't need as many miles of paved roads as we currently have in Wisconsin. You know, maybe that sounds crazy to people, but are there areas where we could return to a permeable surface roadway, and that would be acceptable? I mean, it is possible to have nice gravel roads. That's not the preference, but we're going to have to look at all options.
What about the gas tax? Would you be open to raising it?
I'd be open to that. I think it makes sense. You know, the ones who are using the roads should be the ones who are paving it. But again, we don't want to put a burden on people who are, you know, we live in a car-based society. We've made that decision that we're not fielding a train that will relieve that pressure and allow people to get from A to B more easily without vehicles. But since we're in that situation now, we know everybody has to buy gas in order to get anywhere. So a gas tax would heavily impact everybody. I'm not opposed to it necessarily because we're the users, we should pay for it. But if there is a way for us to move toward alternative transportation and revisit the idea of a train system that would not only provide a lot of jobs, but relieve some of the pressure on our roadways, I really want to pursue that.
Let's take a call. Michael joins us from Green Bay this morning. Michael, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I know that as a graduate of the UW system, how important it is to our state. And it's unique in a lot of ways. And I just want to know what you're willing to do going forward to protect that system, invest in it, and make sure that people from out of state want to come and invest their education here.
Right. I am also a UW alum. I went to Madison for my undergrad, and now I'm living in Madison again and collaborating with people on campus. And I agree with you that our UW system is a shining light in the nation, and we do have to protect it. I think that the Board of Regents should be comprised of people who have a very strong educational background working in the educational industry and who cherish the UW system, like you and I do. So that's an important part of the equation. I think that faculty members should be valued and treated respectfully, that when they jump through all the hoops we ask them to jump through so that they can have job security, that is there for them. Tenure is important. And in terms of, you know, tuition, we want to keep trying to keep tuition low. Word on the street is that student loans are, relative to the rest of the nation, you know, pretty reasonable, but still, you know, we're talking by the time we graduate of having $30,000 to $40,000 of student debt. So we want to make sure that people are not getting themselves in a situation with our university where the cost of going to school then is a major burden on their lives later when they're trying to work and make ends meet.
Let's take another call. This time we'll go to Bianca in Cornell. Bianca, welcome to the morning show.
Hi, thank you for having me. I just wanted to phone in. I've been listening on my way into work and listening to everything that you're saying. Sounds great. I love hearing that you've got kind of a science background. So my question comes from cannabis legalization and any sort of scientific research that you've looked into on that to kind of formulate your opinion on that. I would love to hear your stance on medicinal and, you know, even recreational.
Sure. I'm really in favor of legalizing and decriminalizing cannabis for both medicinal and recreational use. I've researched a lot into cannabis the last couple of years, and I like what we're seeing from the state of Washington and Oregon and Colorado, where they've legalized it, they regulate it, it's taxed, it's sold through dispensaries that are very organized, and you know, you can't just walk in there. You go through a couple layers of security before you're in, and then you work with somebody when you're in to learn about the products and understand exactly what you're buying. But for medicinal use, especially, I think, you know, a lot of people are dealing with pain, whether they're veterans or have other chronic issues. And cannabis is not considered addictive or highly addictive substance. In fact, lab experiments on rats show that it's not, you know, they don't seek it out. They if they're exposed to THC in high doses, they will go through withdrawal symptoms, but they don't seek it out the way they do with opioids and other narcotics. So if we can legalize cannabis, create an orderly industry, generate revenue through taxes, and use that revenue to treat, for example, the opioid crisis, I think that's what we need to be going after.
Well, you mentioned opiates and heroin, methamphetamine. These all pose a significant challenge to Wisconsin. What, if elected, would you do to help Wisconsinites when it comes to this issue?
Yeah, well, I would very much push for a rehab program that is focused on that. And again, you know, using a cannabis industry to help fund that, I think, would be an excellent way to go, because it simultaneously provides the revenue and an alternative treatment for it that is not addictive.
We have less than 2 minutes left. Give us your elevator speech about the Foxconn deal. How do you feel about that?
I think it's not wise for states to put so much money into one basket like that. We're overriding our environmental regulations for them. We're investing billions of taxpayer dollars into this. And this is an industry that is producing products that don't they're not down the line. They're basically just disposable electronics, you know, things that are going to be obsolete within just a few years and end up in landfills. And what if we were investing that kind of resource into renewable energy industries or solar power? What if we were taking that kind of money and putting it toward a future that would employ people for a long time and create energy independence in the state of Wisconsin? We could be leaders, but instead we're kind of selling out to this big foreign company that's going to come in here, and we don't know what we're going to get for it. And we also are talking about taking jobs, you know, we're already at near full employment. And so the people who work there are going to come from other businesses. It's very possible that we'll be driving local businesses out of business just by taking the workforce away from them.
Okay. Maggie Turnbull, thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Maggie Turnbull is the independent candidate for governor of Wisconsin. She's also an astronomer, independent contractor, and small business owner. Visit wisconsinvote.org to hear all of our candidate interviews. Wisconsin Public Radio invited every statewide candidate and everyone running for Congress to talk with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up next, we look at efforts to achieve menstrual equality in Milwaukee. I'm John Munson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network.